All right, ready?
Kayfabe Gimmicks! You know where to find us on Facebook! We're on YouTube!
Fiction Entertainment Brother!
YouTube!
Fiction Entertainment Brother!
YouTube!
Fucking number one Kayfabe Gimmicks podcast ever, so.
How are you looking for?
Put words in the wrong place.
Are you recording all this, dude? The best wrestling podcast has always been.
What you gonna do, brother, when the beast starts talking about wrestling and drinking whiskey and it's all crazy up in here?
Welcome to Kayfabe Gimmicks. This is Snoova, and I got terrible fucking news. Ruff Lee can't be here tonight because he passed in Hurricane Pablo, which is either a really sick joke or it's me telling the future of 2019 when a hurricane somehow crosses mainland Georgia and hits Atlanta. Let's hope it's just a bad joke. Hurricane Pablo, maybe 2019. Tonight I got Steven Prather, a.k.a. Jellybean?
What?
I just called you Jellybean.
No, you can't call me Jellybean.
I just called you Jellybean, sir.
That will not be my nickname.
It's gonna be Steven the Troll Prather. Man. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I mean, it's great. Life's great. If you think about it, we have Alexa Bliss back with her belt. Ah, life is good.
I don't know what you're talking about because I'm drunk as shit because it's a fucking hurricane party. We're all gonna die here in Florida.
I'm from Kentucky. I told you we can send you an ark. We're not using it. It's not making us any money.
Oh, like you guys really built one, right?
Yes, they got tax money to build it. It's a life-size ark, dude. Google that shit.
I don't even want to see this, to be honest with you. I'm a little just weirded out by the whole thing. I guess I'm really here to talk about Hurricane Helms.
Hurricane.
Not just Hurricane, the Hurricane. Hurricane Helms. Like, don't you remember him?
Of course I remember Hurricane Helms and Mighty Molly and Rosie.
Rosie was the shit. The superhero in training. I mean, was it a good gimmick? Was it a bad gimmick? Tell me, Steven. Be honest with me.
I think it was one of those shitty gimmicks that turned out well because of the person in the role. I mean, even the hurricane itself is one of those gimmicks that, by all rights, shouldn't get over. You know, it almost feels like they're like, hey, here's a shitty gimmick. Now take it and run with it. And only the best can. And damn if Shane Helms didn't run with the hurricane. Rosie and Molly both ran with their superhero identities. It was entertaining fun.
I mean, I think it was entertaining fun. I do still think of Shane Helms as kind of rednecky. It's a little weird. It's like watching a redneck Clark Kent.
Don't you remember he was a member of Three Count in WCW? He was Sugar Shane Helms with the Vertebreaker.
I still believe the Vertebreaker is one of the greatest moves ever. Also, his Nightmare on Helm Street finisher, I love it. Great work.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong, I'm never going to insult the man's work. Like, he does some great work. His TNA stuff was kind of questionable.
I think everyone's TNA work is kind of questionable.
I don't know about that. AJ, obviously, you're a huge fan, did great in TNA.
Well, that's AJ.
The Hardys reunited in TNA and did better work than ever.
Delete.
You know, we never fully talked about it in here. I actually gave all of my opinions in YouTube hashtags last year. Tell me, what did you think about the final deletion?
I think it was some of the funniest shit I'd ever seen. Like, it was really entertaining. And from a wrestling perspective, that's what you look for. And, I mean, it was almost comparable to, some people may think it's a little blasphemy. It was as entertaining as when WCW ruined that Mick Foley was going to win the belt, and you turn on the match, and Mick Foley won the belt. It was just one of those moments that you never thought would happen. It came along and did better than you ever thought it would. I mean,
it, I want to say, I think the first way I ever watched it was actually the TNA locker room watching the match and reenacting it and crap. And like EC3 was there and it was just redonkulous. So I kind of got to give you some points there. I mean, it was definitely one of those things that was kind of like, whatever, I'm not watching TNA. Let me go check this out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even watch TNA, but you had been talking about Matt and Jeff and, you know, or I guess at the time, Brother Nero and Broken Matt. Hopefully we'll see them in WWE eventually. You know, I watched those clips. I'd catch them on YouTube because I like watching those kinds of, you know, watching interesting wrestling bits.
All right, so In that sense, YouTube, WWE posts a lot of backstage stuff, whatever, on there. And there hasn't been a lot of talk about the whole delete gimmick. But Jeff Hardy versus The Miz just happened. Did you see it on Raw last night, two nights ago?
No, I do not watch.
I don't give a shit. I don't watch Raw either, and this ain't a Raw recap show. However, go YouTube the clip of the two of them talking about the match, and Matt literally goes into a delete rant.
Really?
Yeah, I was surprised.
I mean, I watched some of... I've gotten to the point where I don't even watch Raw. I watch the clips afterwards with the parts that I want to watch. I haven't gotten to The Miz and Jeff Hardy yet. I saw where he was gonna wrestle, but I did, you know, the main part was I wanted to see if John Cena and Roman could keep up their promo powers from last week.
I completely agree with you there. I was wondering about that myself and seeing where it would turn out, and I still didn't watch it.
It's actually, man, I'm not gonna lie. They kind of got me excited to watch Roman Reigns and John Cena go. I never thought I would ever in my life say those words.
I can't. I'm lying. Actually, I watched the last 10 minutes of Raw. Mm-hmm. I will talk about the last 10 minutes of Raw. I tweeted it out. I believe it. I said it in the group on Facebook, Kayfabe Gimmicks on Facebook.com. Oh my God, WWE is the premier league for big man wrestling lately.
Mm-hmm.
That match was amazing. Minus that one DDT Braun Strowman threw off. Did you see it?
Yeah.
It was horrible. Don't get me wrong. But that moment where he throws Big Show through the cage at the end?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking lovely.
Oh, it was great. It reminded me, do you remember when the Big Show first showed up?
And he threw... Yeah, against Big Boss Man?
No, when he first showed up in WWE with his long hair and he threw Austin through the steel cage?
Oh, yeah. I'd forgotten about that. That is a really cool little back-to-back moment.
Mm-hmm.
So last week, we talked about the Mae Young Classic, and the week before that, you joined me and Ruff, and we talked about,
Women's wrestling.
We talked about something besides just women's wrestling.
Oh.
Misconnections, that's right, yep. It was the Misconnections and Do-It-Yourself podcast. This week, we're gonna build ourselves a boat because of the hurricane. We're gonna build an ark, too. But moral of the story was we told you were wrong and you were right and we were wrong. Natalya was a 2-time champion.
I knew it.
You were right. You were right. You were right. It was a 60-day reign. She didn't even defend it at the pay-per-view in the middle, though. Did you know that?
I did not.
That match I made you watch tonight was the match where she was the pay-per-view in between a Survivor Series where she won it and Royal Rumble where she lost it. At TLC, they had the first ever women's table match between her and Beth Phoenix and Lay Cool. What did you think of the match?
I hate table matches, but I have to say that that was actually probably the best table match I've seen. Like, straight table match.
I mean, I like table matches because they add a little eek moment into wrestling. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Do you remember what WWE champion got his first reign off a table match?
I will bite.
Sheamus.
Did he really?
166 days after he premiered. Basically, when Sheamus first came in, he first started beating up Jamie Noble till he made him retire. And then...
showed back up as J&J Security.
Yep. But he fought... he put John Cena through a table. And so at the Table, Ladders, and Chairs pay-per-view that year, you know, Sheamus' first year, they had a tables match. And John Cena had him up on the turnbuckle like he was going to superplex him. And Sheamus literally just pushes him. And John Cena literally falls, like, through one end of the table. Like, not even the middle of the table. Like, one-fourth of... right at the end, and it breaks, and that's the end of the match.
Okay, so in defense of that, I like how the Natalya and Beth Phoenix match ends not when they first break the table, but when Natalya jumps through them and finishes off the table. I do give that points.
Oh, no, that match, the tag women's table match, was amazing.
Yeah, so, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I like the fact that they didn't end the match just because the table didn't completely break, though. I thought that was cool. It was one of those things that I'd give a lot of points to, actually, in WWE Creative and how they handled that match. You want to know my least favorite table match? I mean, I can tell you.
What is it?
Well, so was that really your least favorite table match?
Off the top of my head, it's the one that sticks out where when I think of it, I'm just like...
I got worse for you, motherfucker. And it involves the Big Show, who we've already talked about, and a member of the Bullet Club. Can you believe where I'm going with this?
I can't.
Do you know where I'm going with this?
No.
WrestleMania, I want to tell you, 28. Big Show versus Cody Rhodes in a table match. The entire setup is Cody Rhodes is belittling Big Show for weeks that he's never had a WrestleMania moment. This really happened.
Did Cody ever have a WrestleMania moment?
I guess that's besides the point at this point in their time. This is literally the storyline. And Big Show won the belt off of Cody Rhodes. Actually. It's the Intercontinental Championship match. And it happened at Extreme Rules 2012. Well, the tables match goes down in 2012. The original match happened at WrestleMania right before then. And finally, like, this feud is really going on. And WrestleMania 28 was their original match. Their original match. Big Show wins the Intercontinental belt at WrestleMania. Sounds nice, right?
Yeah.
And this happened. So then they have a table match at Extreme Rules. Because tables matches and hardcore pay-per-view happens after WrestleMania. Yeah. Now, I like Extreme Rules. Extreme Rules has had some of my favorite matches and sometimes been better than the WrestleMania before it, I feel.
You know what? Speaking of Molly Holly, you know what I miss? I miss the hardcore title when it was defended 24/7.
I understand. But let me finish off this table match for you, right?
Go ahead.
So he wins. He wins, dude. He literally, Big Show speared Cody Rhodes, hit him with a knockout punch, and won his first ever Intercontinental Championship. He literally stopped the asshole Cody Rhodes, who'd been talking shit about him for weeks and making fun of him. And they go to Extreme Rules, where they get their rematch in a table match. And this is actually the same year that Brock Lesnar came back, man. So this could have been a great pay-per-view, except he literally loses the match. Yeah. Guess how?
He punches through the table?
The table, on the table.
in it, bro.
He literally, Cody Rhodes dropkicked his legs, and he fixes his leg, and he sets one of them down on the table to try to balance himself, and it snaps. That was literally how he lost the belt. He put himself through the table.
Was it after that they changed the rule? Because now your opponent has to put you through
the
table,
right? No, this is after that match that you watched. This is a couple years after. So I don't know. I don't know what they were thinking or how they did this or like if this was on purpose.
I'm pretty sure they changed it.
Was this on purpose?
Like, I think... I don't know. But, I mean, there have been screw-ups before, and you can't really do anything about it. If it hadn't been on purpose, they would have had Show win the title back.
Oh, you're right. And they definitely did not give Show the title back. So, I mean, maybe it wasn't their best ending, but it was the ending that they said, fuck it, let's just go with it. Is that okay? God damn it, WWE.
I mean, obviously, Vince thought that was best for business.
I mean, we gave some love to Sugar Hurricane Helms. Sugar Hurricane Helms. Sugar Shane Helms. Hurricane Helms. Shane Sugary Hurricane Helms. Whatever you want to call him. I guess we're really here to talk about some gimmick matches, though, with these tables. And where I'm going to start that off with is everybody should go watch Chikarasaurus Flesh and Stone. Chikarasaurus Rex Flesh and Stone. Because Ophidian versus Hollow Wicked in a casket match happened. Seriously, Chikaratopia is $8.99 a month, I think. Maybe $7.99 a month. Look, dude, it's cheaper than the WWE Network. You got 18 seasons of Chikara to watch. They give you all the new stuff as soon as it comes out. It's fucking great. And that's one of my favorite casket matches in general. I think it might be my favorite casket match I've ever watched. And I can't wait to see what happens next with Ophidian now that he's been buried alive. Fuck it, we're going to spoil it out. It's over a month later. You should watch it. You should watch it, yeah. I think.
I'll check it out.
It has a great beginning. He cuts a promo, right? And he's like, look, you can't kill the dead because his opponent is an undead creature, supposedly. So he says, but you can bury them. And that's how we got a sarcophagus match. I love it, dude. Look, gimmicks can add a lot to a match. They can add a lot of excitement to a match. And at times, they're done right. They're great. So is the table match your least favorite gimmick match ever?
Probably. I mean, I just, like, okay, so you have the TLC match, you know, just kind of, you know, tables with ladders and chairs.
Oh, my.
And the ingenuity of all the participants when there's a tables, ladders, chairs match is great. But I have never seen an innovative table match. Just a table match. I take that back. There was one. But this is old school. So for you youngins out there, might not remember this. ECW, the scaffold match, where they had all these tables in the ring. Have you seen this?
I've seen a couple scaffold matches.
But he fought, I can't remember who it is.
My favorite one goes to Raven's Clockwork Orange match, I think. I really felt like that's where the Dean Ambrose Asylum match should have gone to be honest with you.
Yeah, probably. It was... Let's see. They had a scaffold match with... So, Tommy Dreamer versus Brian Lee. This is like 1996. This is ECW High Incident.
Yeah.
And you know Tommy Dreamer just likes to get the crap kicked out of him anyway.
And yeah, so, I mean, for the longest time, he just got the crap kicked out of him, and then he finally became like a champion.
I mean, if you go look at this on YouTube, so they have a scaffold above the ring, and right below the scaffold, there's like 3, 6, 9, it looks like 12 tables stacked 3 to each row. And, Brian Lee literally grabs Tommy and throws him off so that Tommy literally goes through these freaking tables. I mean, it's literally like just... Or no, I'm sorry. Brian Lee goes through the table. It's been forever since I watched this. He literally falls through and breaks a bunch of these tables.
Yeah.
And that's cool. But when you have like John Cena and Sheamus or anybody else, I'll put it this way. It's going to be a toss-up for me. Tables or Punjabi prison matches?
I like the Punjabi prison match. You go to hell, sir.
Hell for me is nothing but tables. And you know what? Hell is a Punjabi prison match with tables in it.
Look,
that's what it is.
I mean, I'm sorry. Like, you're actually putting tables matches and Punjabi prison matches over or under pole matches?
Oh, God, I forgot they do pole matches, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, like...
Oh, my God. You're right. Sorry. I'll rectify. The whatever on a pole is absolutely stupid.
I gotta throw this in there. You know what my least favorite match type ever is, I think?
What?
Flag matches. Because I'm not even a patriot, but there's something about, like, a flag match that I find kind of disturbing. Like, how do you successfully pull off a flag match without the flag touching the ground? And, look, John Cena versus Rusev, that flag touched the ground. Both flags did.
Yeah. Or you remember the old matches where you had to touch all four corners?
Oh, my God. You remember I think there was one between John Cena and Rusev, actually, where the corners lit up every time they touched it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those two types of matches. But not pole matches. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, those are just...
Wasn't like there somebody's Viagra on a pole match? There really was a Viagra on a pole match, right?
I don't know. I can look real quick. I remember there was a... Whoever gets this contract gets to keep their job on a pole match. Because I think that's how Jamie Noble got fired one time.
Well, I mean, how many times did he get fired? Shane Douglas with Torrey Wilson versus Billy Kidman Viagra on a pole match on WCW Nitro.
Now, going back to your casket match, I'll tell you another really good one. Came from, I think it was the first season of Lucha Underground. Phoenix and Muerte. Yeah. That was an amazing casket match. I mean, Muerte's picking up the casket and beating the shit out of Phoenix with it, and that was just a great casket match. And of course, you can't really talk about casket matches without talking about The Undertaker. Known for those and buried alive matches.
Well, you know, I'm going to throw out there, do you remember how the Daniel Bryan versus Kane feud ended?
With Kane in a casket with Katie Vick's corpse?
Well, without Katie Vick's corpse. But yeah, Kane got buried in a casket too. I thought that was cool. Apparently, the greatest pole match ever might have happened in Mid-South Wrestling in the 80s. It was Hacksaw Jim Duggan versus Ted DiBiase in a glove on a pole match. However, it was in a steel cage and they both had to wear tuxedos. I'm just saying, go watch it. Just go watch it, man.
I will probably have to go watch that.
I'm going to have to go watch that. I mean, like, whatever. This is one that actually kind of seems exciting to me.
I mean, it's, for me, in an overall sense, so gimmick matches, you know, when they first happen, they're innovative, they're great, you know, and it's really cool to see all the things they do. Casket matches, you know, it's just a break from the norm. But at some point, it just gets a little ridiculous. Like, you know, like coming back to TLCs. I've yet to see a bad tables, ladders, and chairs match. But when they take just one, there are great ladder matches. But do you remember, was it last year? Dean Ambrose had a chair match?
Oh, was that the one against Kevin Owens? No, that was Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens in the chair match. I like that match. Mainly because Kevin Owens built that crazy-ass structure with the chairs. Give him props for that.
No, I'm pretty sure Dean Ambrose had a chair match, and I want to say it was against Bray Wyatt.
He had one a few years ago, and it was like at the end of a pay-per-view, and somebody just got buried in chairs, I think.
Yeah. I can't. Oh, it was Seth Rollins or Bray Wyatt.
Maybe, yeah. You know, the worst match that ever happened was at TLC for terrible gimmick matches, and it was Eric Rowan versus Big Show in a steel stair match.
That should never have happened.
Yeah, that never should have happened. Like, that's worse than on a pole. That's worse than Judy Bagwell on a forklift.
Yeah, that's bad.
It's bad, but look, man, here's the thing about the steel stairs match that fucking annoys me so much. It's the fact that Michael Cole spends the entire match yelling out how the stairs weigh 300 fucking pounds, and yet these people are picking them up with fucking ease. I know Braun's huge, I know Big Show's huge, but 300 pounds? 300 pounds. Come on.
True. Yeah, I mean, there's a point where some gimmicks, I mean, there's also the infamous, let me think here. What else is there? I mean, there's some great tables, ladder, chairs matches, but like I said, once you break them up, they're not as great. But yeah, steel steps, that's just dumb. I mean, they're part of the ring.
Exactly. Well, I mean, so what is the gimmick match that you thought was going to be terrible but turned out to be the best?
Thought was going to be terrible. Turned out the best. Trying to think here. War Games from WCW.
Huh? I mean, I feel like you need to give me more at that point.
War Games, where, you know...
You didn't believe it was going to be good at all? Ever?
I mean, I just didn't know how good it was going to be. Like, you know, when you look at War Games 3, where they had three rings. I was just like, really? Three rings? That just seems kind of redundant. But watching, and what really made that match amazing was watching the cruiserweights being able to jump from one ring to the next. That was just amazing, how they used the ring. I thought it was just going to be one of those matches, you know, where it's overcomplicated, it's not as good. Like, everybody loves battle royals, but really, battle royals are just, they're not that great. Most of the time. But, you know, that's how I saw War Games the first time, you know, when they had the multiple rings. But I was really pleasantly surprised, especially War Games 3, with how well the match actually went.
I understand. My biggest what-the-fuck match I've ever watched probably goes to Booker T versus Scott Steiner in a straitjacket cage match at WCW Mayhem 2000. I've talked about it numerous times in my career of recording this podcast. That match is great. I don't give a fuck still. It's WCW's version of a Hell in a Cell cage, and that match is just fucking phenomenal, and like, it has no reason to be or no right.
That reminds me of the Ken Shamrock versus Jeff Jarrett. They had Ken Shamrock in a straitjacket.
Straitjacket matches are one of those weird ones too. I like WCW's usage of cages.
Okay, so what's the greatest cage example in WCW?
To Jeff Jarrett and DDP. And motherfucking Ruff Lee's favorite person in the world, David Arquette,
former WCW heavyweight champion, David Arquette.
I like that three-tiered cage. I don't give a shit. Like, that cage is impressive. It's cool. I like things like that. That's kind of why I like the Punjabi prison, to be honest with you. It's this weird, unique thing that I love. I obviously love Elimination Chamber cages, too, because of that.
I do like the Elimination Chamber. I'm not going to lie. That's a very interesting concept. And every time they've had one, some interesting stuff has happened. For example, remember the Elimination Chamber with the tag teams? And you had New Day, and they were holding people?
The tag team one? Where Kalisto climbs to the very top and drops on everybody. I like that one. I got to go back to about 2012 again, I think, maybe 13. There's one with Big Show and Santino Marello. And Big Show literally punches through the top of the cage, I think. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. By the way, Santino Marello is my pick to win the Mae Young Classic.
Oh, yeah, it was Daniel Bryan versus Santino Marello versus Wade Barrett versus Cody Rhodes versus Big Show in 2012 at the Elimination Chamber. I thought it was surprisingly an interesting match, dude. Especially because it had so many shitty people in it. But Santino did great, and that was that same year he almost won the Rumble. And I kind of feel like they should have done more with Santino as a mature, responsible character a couple times.
They should have done more with just about everybody in that match. I mean, let's face it. Santino can wrestle. And unfortunately, he became Kali.
The only person in that group who couldn't wrestle was Kali. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love comedy in my wrestling. I think it's fun.
Yeah. Look at the wasted talent that match. Cody Rhodes, Wade Barrett. I don't care what anybody says. Wade Barrett is a great talent. He just wasn't getting properly used.
I don't disagree with you. I mean, I definitely was a Wade Barrett fan. I thought he had a good finisher. I thought even the knockout thing was cool. I liked Wade Barrett in general. He was someone who could really go somewhere, if you ask me, and WWE never did. A lot of that was due to injuries. But even then, they kind of fucked up that whole thing where he returned from injury after his arm got busted in the middle of the ring. While on the floor. Yeah. In a Money in the Bank match. Which was great.
That's a good... You know what? That's become a very integral gimmick match.
Money in the Bank?
It's Money in the Bank. Yep. And it's... Pretty much, I think there's only two people who have cashed in and not won, right?
Baron Corbin, three, John Cena, and Damian Sandow.
Yep. And then, of course, Mr. Kennedy lost his to Edge.
Oh, four. That's four. Nope, you're right. Oh, well, Edge cashed it in, though.
Yeah, Edge cashed it in and won. In fact, Edge is the first Money in the Bank winner. I was listening... Yeah, he was the very first one, and I was listening to something, and they actually said that, I think it was Chris Jericho had to talk him into doing it because Edge at that time was tired of ladder matches, and he didn't want to do it.
I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with him, but I mean, I understand why he didn't want to. I don't know, man, that's a weird twist of events. I remember one, I think it was WrestleMania 24, where they wrote it like a they wrote the two ladders like a seesaw, Shelton Benjamin and somebody. I always thought that was a cool moment.
Oh, dude, Shelton Benjamin, oh my god. Him and, anytime there's a ladder in the bank match, or Money in the Bank match, if Shelton Benjamin was in it, or for the most part, Kofi Kingston, you knew some crazy shit was gonna happen.
Oh yeah, dude. Oh yeah, I don't disagree.
Or John Morrison.
Oh, yeah. Morrison was great in those matches. I had a lot of fun with those matches over the years. Look, I think Money in the Bank was a fun thing, and it was a nice thing.
Yeah, and I think each year it's... To me, that's kind of... You know, back in the day, if you think about it, you know, there were stepping stones to get to the world title. Most people who got to the world title usually held a mid-card belt before they made the jump. Unless they were, you know, the chosen one. But now, Money in the Bank's kind of replaced that. If you win Money in the Bank, I mean, really, if you think about it, other than four people, which of the four that didn't, I think two of them were for storyline reasons, and two of them were because the wrestler is possibly in the doghouse. That's the only reason I can explain Baron Corbin not winning, because they've been pushing him.
Yeah, but we still haven't figured that out. Apparently, from the latest report I've seen, Baron Corbin didn't get that because he was outspoken during a concussion conversation because he was a former football player. So, I don't know. So, WWE 2K18 is coming out. this year in a couple of months. Still mad at you, Amazon. Still going to tweet terrible things at you because they still don't have it available for pre-order for me to get a Prime discount off of it, which means I'm going to have to take my money to GameStop or somewhere else in order to get this game.
Yeah, because now you don't even get the extended time discount. Like, after the pre-order date, it's normal price. They don't do the 20% off.
But, so...
for, like, the first 2 weeks.
Here's the list of people who aren't going to be in WWE 2K18. Elias Sampson. The Hardy Boys. James Ellsworth. Lana. Mike and Marie Kanellis. Shelton Benjamin. The Singh Brothers. Daivari from 205 Live. Drew Gulak, Lince Dorado, Mustafa Ali, and Tony Nese. And then the interesting thing is obviously the NXT list. You'll be upset about this, of course. Adam Cole won't be in the game. Bobby Fish won't be in the game. Kyle O'Reilly won't be in the game. Drew McIntyre, The Street Profits, Adondre C.N. Almas, Aleister Black, Lars Sullivan, Liv Morgan, Heavy Machinery, Ruby Riott, Sonya Deville, Velveteen Dream, and Zelina Vega.
But the author
and Cassius Ohno, and oh my god, he's like super fat.
Is he really?
He's kind of gotten big, dude.
I don't know why they just don't let him go by Chris Hero.
I don't know why they don't either, but I don't understand like why he got kicked out, got fat, stayed fat, kind of cleaned up, but then, like, this picture of him looks super fat. It's weird. Yeah. And then nobody from the UK tournament made it in, but, like, whoever, who gives a shit?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, I mean, how many people from 205 made it in? Probably three?
Well, actually more than that. I believe...
Well, obviously Neville's in. I figure Jack Gallagher and TJ Perkins right off the bat.
Brian Kendrick, Grand Metalik. I mean, there's a decent amount in there. There's a decent amount.
We don't even have to play the rest of the game. We can just have 205 nights.
We could. The weird things on to me are, the Bushwhackers being in here. Typhoon's in here. Tatsumi Fujinami's in here. I feel like that's a weird one. Psycho Sid's going to be in the game. Jake Roberts is going to be in the game. Sting's going to be in the game for some reason.
Kurt Angle.
They just don't have a good reason to put these people in the game. Kurt Angle's only at the game if you pre-order it.
Yep.
I'm going to literally send you this picture of Chris Hero right now, and you're going to be like, what the fuck is wrong with life? Because I don't know what the answer is, but I'm so confused by it. Yeah, I was really confused how the Bushwhackers ended up in this game. Rich Swann's gonna be in it. Noam Dar is gonna be in it. Gallagher's in it. No Way Jose's in this game. Both of the Colons are in this game. Tyson Kidd's in this game for some reason. Billy Kay and Peyton Royce.
Wow, he did get big. Oh, dear God.
Yeah, I don't, he, like, that's a really big picture of him. I don't understand it. And I don't understand why anybody wants Noam Dar in a game. Especially over somebody like Drew Gulak.
Over anybody.
Yeah, it's kind of some weird choices, sir. Weird, weird choices. So,
is there anything new about this one? Is there anything new about 2K18?
You are going to be able to do 14-on-14 matches, or 4-on-4 matches.
Nice.
So that should be really, really cool.
Yeah.
Wait. You know, this should actually be up now with the proper roster. The proper roster should be on here now. Do, 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 do. Did you know you can get WWE 2K on mobile? I didn't know that came out. I'm interested. Who's in the mobile game?
John Cena.
John Cena's obviously in the mobile game, as is Randy Orton. There should be a full roster around here somewhere. Anyway, so, I mean, that's what we're looking at right now. It's kind of a weird game. They are not going to have any legend modes, which again is kind of a weird choice and kind of confuses me and kind of leaves me like, what?
What?
Well, I'm just saying, like, you're not going to get a WCW mode. You're not getting a mode with Attitude Era characters, but Boss Man 91, 99 are both in this game.
Do they have the one that got hung from the hell or from the steel cage? For the Hell in the Cell?
No, I don't think so. You have Bret Hart 97 and 98. You got Brutus Beefcake. You got Buddy Roberts.
Wow.
You got the Bushwhackers, like I said. I mean, like, just weird choices. Akira Tozawa's in this game out of 205 Live, guys.
Woo!
DDP's in this game.
That's all you need.
Dusty Rhodes is in this game.
Ooh.
They're just weird choices. Finn Balor's demon form is going to count as a separate character from his regular form, so I'm going to just take regular Balor out of my game completely if I buy it.
Yeah.
He's boring. He's boring. I don't give a shit. But now back to the weird choices. Greg Valentine, Jim Neidhart, Jimmy Garvin. Like, what? Kerry Von Erich's in this game.
Does he come with detachable foot?
No, I don't think so. Kevin Von Erich's in this game. Larry Zbyszko's in this game. Lex Luger. Macho Man. Michael Hayes. But he doesn't have his fanny pack. Damn it.
I mean, I understand some of those. Like Macho Man, yeah.
But you're not introducing a Legends mode, so it's kind of weird.
Yeah, but people... It's more so fan service. Fans always want, like, honestly, let's face it. If we saw Hulk Hogan was back in the game, people would be like, awesome, Hogan.
I would be torn because I like to have Hogan in my old WWE games for doing stuff with, like, Macho Man. But at the same time, I'm like, fuck you, Hulk Hogan. So I see where you're coming from there. I do.
Is Booker T in it?
Yeah. Booker T got announced today.
Yay.
He was one of the last ones announced.
Can you dig it, sucker?
Five time. Oh, yeah. I don't know. It's just some weird choices. Shane Thorne's going to be in this game from NXT, dude.
Really?
Exactly. Like, what? So, I mean, we're about the 42-minute mark. What else would you like to talk about tonight, Steven?
I mean, if we're talking about gimmick matches, I think one of the more unique ones that a lot of people forget is the empty arena match between The Rock and Mankind that happened during Super Bowl, and it was on Sunday Night Heat. Did you ever get to see that?
I have seen the match, yes.
And it's won via a forklift.
I actually do remember this. I do. It's not the only match won via forklift either. Didn't Daniel Bryan defeat Kane versus forklift?
Did he?
Yes, he did. After he won the belt at fucking WrestleMania, he pinned Kane with a forklift. I just remembered this. Yes, it did, at Extreme Rules 2012, I believe.
Wow. But yeah, I just remember Mankind beating The Rock with a forklift to win the title for, I think, the second time?
Oh, I'm sorry, it wasn't 2012. 2012 was the Jericho versus CM Punk and Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan. But it was right before he went out with the first injury that would take him away forever.
Or at least till they clear him again.
WWE's never going to clear him.
Nope, but his Twitter says he might make a jump somewhere. Unless they offer him a lot of money. I'm torn on him coming back. I really am. I mean, there's... I'm trying to think of other gimmick matches they've had, you know. I mean, there's been some big failures that they thought were going to be great, like the Inferno matches.
Oh yeah, the one
somebody gets set on
the
fire.
Inferno matches, which Kane never won for the longest time period ever.
Did he ever win one?
Oh god,
I don't think. Yeah, he won one. He won one.
He beat MVP, I believe.
Oh
yeah.
Okay.
But
MVP.
So Kane versus Daniel Bryan happened at Extreme Rules 2014. Bryan put Kane on the forklift, drove the forklift back into the arena, and performed a diving headbutt off the forklift onto Kane.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Then, I mean, there's been some really good gimmick matches. I mean, if you want to go completely crazy, have you ever watched one of the FMW death matches?
I have. I've seen a few of them. I love the death matches. Those are amazing.
Those are crazy. Like, there's one where it's over a pool.
Yeah. I think I've seen that one, actually.
And it looks like they're eviscerating a guy with a scythe.
Did you see the one with the electrified piranha tank? Or the piranha tank in general?
No.
Yeah, there's one where a dude gets his face shoved in a piranha tank, and the other dude starts bleeding into the tank to try to get the fish to bite him.
Dang. No, I haven't seen that one. I'll have to check that out. Like, I watch those and I cringe because they're so bloody and violent. Like, they don't do that kind of stuff anymore. Like, any promotion.
I love some of those matches. Edge versus Mick Foley in that hardcore match at WrestleMania. Stand. Not the one-night stand match. Fuck that match. The WrestleMania match is my favorite match because at one point, Edge goes for the spear. And he falls down to the ground crying. And fucking Mick Foley rips open his shirt and he wrapped his chest with fucking barbed wire, dude.
Only Mick Foley.
That match ends with Edge literally diving through the ropes, pushing Mick Foley through a burning table. And he crawls up to the fucking top of the ramp with Lita, and his eyes just have that crazy look they have.
Yeah, I miss Edge too.
We lost him at the best in
Edge
his career.
Edge and Christian. Yeah, I mean that's so good.
It's life.
And Edge had a lot of great. Edge had some, you know, Edge had was in a lot of gimmick matches, and they were almost always good.
Like, I mean, you're definitely
bar
right.
Bar none, Edge was the top performer. And, of course, Edge was also in, as we talk gimmick matches, he was in one of the most real gimmick matches. His little feud with Matt Hardy over Lita.
That wasn't a gimmick, man. That was real life.
It was real life.
And they were still safer with each other than goddamn sexy stars fuck ass.
That's she's done.
She's really done. I don't think you can continue a career at this point if you're sexy star. So let's finish up the episode. Steven, what have you been up to?
Not a whole lot. You know, watching some wrestling, trying to catch up on Lucha Underground. Trying to decide if they're gonna do a fourth season or not. That's really about it, you know, watching the pay per views. I guess I'm gonna check out some Chikara.
You should. What have you been playing?
Well, I bought Knack 2, but I haven't actually played
it. The greatest game ever?
What's the greatest game ever?
Knack.
I wouldn't call it the greatest game ever, but it's a damn great game.
Yeah, there's a mixture of opinions on the internet whether Knack was a good game to begin with. Spoiler alert, it actually was.
It was, you know, I'll be honest with you. That's the first PS4 game I beat. In fact, it was one of the first titles I got. I got that in Guilty Gear. And I started playing that because I got it for like $3.
I mean, that's damn cheap.
And, yeah, it was like a Christmas sale because I just got my PS4. And when they finally came back up, you know, from the being knocked off and, you know, the DOS attacks. I got it. Loved it. Love that game. And the new one has co-op. So I'm excited to see how it plays.
Funny story, the original had co-op.
Did it really?
It did. It had couch co-op.
Huh. I think this one might have online co-op. Maybe that's the difference.
Maybe.
The combat's pretty cool, and I'm wanting to see how the story goes. But other than that, I've pretty much been playing Assassin's Creed. Like, I've got all those.
You were going through all of them, right?
Yeah, I'm almost done with one.
Oh, still?
I've literally got one match. I just, with work, haven't had a whole lot of time to play.
I understand.
So
trust me, I understand. I feel you.
I got one more assassination before I can fight the last boss. But right now, that's where I'm at, you know. But there's so many games coming out. Let's see. Cuphead comes out this month.
It does. I'm planning on playing on PC.
Yeah.
Playing on PC, I'm going to be honest.
And let's see. What else is... I mean, there's like four or five games. Of course, Destiny 2 came out this week, but eh.
Who gives a shit? I'm a little torn. I mean, money's pretty tight. I will tell you this. I am going to be buying the latest edition of Metroid. It comes out next Friday, the 15th.
Oh.
And I'm buying it for a couple reasons. The most important of which is I've always been a Metroid fan, and I can't wait, and I hope that, hopefully, Nintendo understands that we give a fuck about Metroid. Real Metroid titles.
I like Metroid. Oh, just here's a little thing for you. The only physical copy of WWE 2K18 Amazon is carrying or pre-ordering is for the Switch.
Whoa, yay.
I just looked.
I'm done with this whole thing, dude. I'm done with this whole thing. Theoretically, the copies of the game will pop up on Amazon that Friday before it comes out officially and still be allowed to be able to be bought beforehand because technically the game doesn't officially come out till that Tuesday.
You might as well go to GameStop, put your money down, and more than likely, I guarantee you, GameStop will do an early release Monday night.
Sunday night? Or Tuesday? Well, no, see, the GameStop thing would be a Thursday night release. Because the game early releases on Friday anyways if you pre-order.
Oh, so yeah, they would do a Thursday night release.
Look, I'm trying to save money here. I'm trying to be a money-conscious spender with everything that's been going on in my life right now.
Yeah, I understand. I think the next game I've got coming out is Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
I really wanted to pick up Shadows of War, but I don't know if I'm going to have the money here. And I really want to pick up The Evil Within 2, because if you've been watching our podcast on YouTube, I'm playing through The Evil Within 1 again.
Yeah, I saw that. I have that game. I've never beat it.
I never beat it either the first time. I never really had a reason not to beat it. I just kind of stopped playing. So if you keep watching our podcast, maybe you'll see me beat it. Maybe you won't. It depends upon how flavor of the month it stays while I keep recording and making footage. I like the game, though. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's got that creepiness. It's got that loveliness. We'll see what happens. Anyways, tell the nice people where to find you, Steven.
You can find me in Kayfabe Gimmicks on Facebook. And typically, you'll find a post of me talking about how awesome Alexa Bliss is and how bad Sasha Banks is, just to make people mad. So if you want to locate me, you can locate me there.
I mean, you are a troll. Oh, I know what we should shout out. You know what we should shout out, Steven?
What?
Your mom's new book.
Oh, it's not out yet. It comes out in October. So,
pre-order on Amazon. Tell people the title.
Yeah, I've got to go find it.
Oh, my God.
You wanna... Wait. No, I'm going to tell you a story. And if you ask my mom, she'll tell you the same. I have never read one of my mom's books.
Ever?
Ever. I am a fantasy sci-fi guy, and she writes murder mysteries and stuff like that. And it's just, like, if you like, have you ever read Odd Thomas or seen the movie?
Yeah, I did see the movie. And I don't know, I mean, I prefer Stephen King to Dean Koontz any day of the week.
She writes a similar style to Dean Koontz, and I'm not a big Dean Koontz fan. I'm sci-fi fantasy. So her next book's going to be called Innocent Blood. You can find it on Amazon. Last name is Prather, P-R-A-T-H-E-R. It comes out August 12th, but yeah.
Is it Prather or is it Prather? I always thought it was Prather.
It's Prather. Most people call me Prather. I had a manager in Michigan that even when I corrected her, she for 5 years called me Prather. I was like, it's Prather. But I've gotten so used to people saying it, it doesn't even bother me. But, you know, people think, they're like, Steven, you're such a horrible son. I'm just like, they're not my kind of books. I'm not going to enjoy it. Why would you want me to read it? And I understand that since it's my mom, I should, but I know I'm not going to enjoy the book for the simple fact it's not my kind of book.
I understand where you're coming from. I will say, I want to shout out Dean Koontz all of a sudden, actually. Watchers is like the only good Dean Koontz book.
I like the movie.
There's a movie for Watchers?
Yeah, it had one of the Coreys in it.
Oh.
The one that died.
Yeah, there's like four of those movies, but they're loosely based off the book. I don't
know. I only saw the first one.
I don't know how to feel about that. The book's really, really cool, though, so I will say that. I don't know what else to say. It has a dog in it. You'll love it.
And the movie had a dog
in it. Yeah, the book has a dog in it. You love dogs.
I do love dogs.
Dogs are your life.
Dog life.
Dog life? We're a damn mess. This has been Kayfabe Gimmicks, and we will be here next week, as always, at tinyurl.kayfabegimmicks, or our YouTube page, which is Kayfabe Gimmicks. Or Twitter, where you find me at Kayfabe Gimmicks, or on Facebook at Kayfabe Gimmicks. But the likelihood is I'm going to be dead in a hurricane. Too soon?
Well, if you die, who takes over the podcast and the page?
Obviously you and Ruffly.
Until Ruff passes away in 2019 from Hurricane...
Hurricane Pablo! Possibly, yes. In reality, I don't know if I'm going to be recording next week. This is kind of a serious thing. I may or may not have power next Wednesday. I don't know.
Well, far be it from me to ever show an emotional side, but take care of yourself.
Oh, fuck that. I don't know how. But no, I mean, seriously, you and Ruff are going to have to record a podcast for me. If I'm not here next week, I guess that's how we're going to pull this one off.
All right, Kayfabe Gimmicks. Join us next week for the special edition Alexa Bliss, the myth, the legend, and perfection. Simply blissful. 1 hour of Alexa Bliss.
You guys are going to be like jerking each other's dicks the whole damn time.
No, no. We're going to talk about Alexa Bliss.
And touch each other because nobody else will touch you because you're obsessed with Alexa Bliss.
I'm not stalking her yet.
Keyword there was?
Yet.
Exactly. Worry, Alexa. Worry. But remember, as Bubba Ray Dudley said, if they aren't at the airport waiting for you, that's when you should be worried.